Welcome to Christian Guys Radio. Radio for, well, the Christian guy. Let's jump right in. Well, we are back at it again. We are joined, as always, by myself, Mike, David, and Caleb. How are you guys doing this morning?
Doing well. Doing well.
Good.
It's Saturday.
It's Saturday where we're at. I don't know where you are or what day you're listening, but it's Saturday, and it's for us, it's a little bit of a, not a perfect day, but not a bad day. We are going to continue in and jump into our next topic of discussion. Caleb, you were talking after the last episode. We had talked off air about superheroes and all the superhero movies that are coming out, and it spurred a good thought that I think we might want to explore a little bit, given what we know and who our audience is this idea of superheroes. Why are we as guys drawn to it? Why do we like them? Those kinds of things. And so I thought we would talk a little bit about that. I got to start off, you know, just if we're going to talk about superheroes, who is your favorite superhero? It can be DC, it can be Marvel. Just know if it's a Marvel character, I'm going to kick you out of the show right now. it can be either one. Don't feel pressured to pick one side or the other. Who is your favorite superhero, Caleb?
Mine would probably have to be Batman.
Caleb, we can't do Batman. Batman's not a superhero. He's a rich guy with a bunch of toys. Nothing super about Batman.
He's a ninja. He's also like a world-class investigator. He goes up against, you know, super strong, super fast, and super smart villains.
He's only world-class because he has all the computer tech do the work for him, and Alfred does all of that, the hard work. He just drives around in fancy cars with a bunch of money and a pretty girl on his arm.
I don't think we can do the show anymore.
I don't think so either. Guys, well, it's been great. We appreciate it. All right, so Batman. I know lots and lots of people love Batman. Given that, who out of all of the Batman, and I don't know if you're old enough to remember this, out of all the Batman franchises that have come through or whatever, you have Michael Keaton, you have Val Kilmer, you have...
George Clooney,
the Christian Bale... what's his name's getting ready to be the new one, the Twilight guy.
No, they did put him in for that.
He's the new Batman.
That's too bad.
What's his name?
I don't remember.
He played the vampire dude in Edward or whatever. Yeah, he played Edward.
I haven't seen more than 2 minutes of any of those movies. So.
Yeah. Anyway, whatever his name is. So there's him, or there's Adam West.
Adam West.
If they make Batman sparkle, then I'm out.
He's got little white face makeup on and
swear to me.
That's funny. All right, so who's your favorite Batman? Which Batman was your favorite? Ooh. Oh, and there's the new dude from the DC Justice Leagues is Affleck.
Affleck.
Oh yeah,
Ben Affleck.
Affleck.
Not Affleck, that's insurance. Affleck.
I guess mine would probably have to be the Christian Bale ones.
Okay.
Mainly because you see him broken down, you know.
It's the only ones you're old enough to actually have watched. I'm kidding.
And he's, you see him, you know, brought low before he, you know, kind of becomes.
Well, they did Batman. The backstory, and he's basically the only character who's done more than two movies in a row, if I'm not mistaken. Didn't he do three altogether?
Yeah, I believe you're correct.
Keaton did one or two, but basically all the rest of them did one each.
Yeah, well, and I would kind of lean towards him as well. I think that's more of a reflection on who directed the movie.
Oh yeah,
because it was more guttural, more real.
Yeah,
you know, when he gets punched, he actually ends up with bruises. Kind of a, you know,
right.
It's, and so it's just,
what, you don't like the when he gets punched, the kapows and chings and all that stuff,
which that was fine for the TV shows and whatnot. It just, in sometimes in this superhero genre, you kind of lose some of the realism, if you will. Even though that they kind of translated that when they went into and started remaking like the Star Trek stuff, and they kind of made it a bit more to where it wasn't so quite so fantastical. It was a bit more, for lack of a better term, realistic.
Yeah,
right. And well, I mean, for me personally, that's why I really gravitate towards Batman, in that despite, you know, all of his training, all of his knowledge and experience, he's still just a human guy. And
so you like him because there's a chance, albeit a small one, that you could be Batman someday.
How did you know this?
Inherit a bucket load of money.
Right. All right, David, who is your favorite superhero? And don't give me none of this. I grew up in Colombia, so we didn't have superheroes. Maybe your favorite superhero is Juan Valdez. I know he's not Colombian. He's something else, but, yeah. He's
Mexican.
Yeah. Or maybe Don Quixote.
Oh, yeah. He's Zorro. He's a Spaniard. And a weird one at that. But I don't know that I have a favorite one in particular. If I had to, I would probably pick one that I would like to think that I relate to. It would be Captain America, just because, you know, he's the quintessential good guy.
Right,
you know?
Absolutely.
Regardless of superpowers or whatever they might have, he's just the all-around decent, I'm doing this because I love America.
For truth, justice, in the American way.
That's Superman.
I know.
Same colors in his costume.
Almost.
Anyways, but, you know, just, and I think that's one thing that, especially recently, has been kind of lost in a lot of superhero stuff, is they're starting to want to show the darker side, yeah, and right. The faults. But, I mean, at least maybe this is just the way that I'm perceiving it, but it seems like in the past, you know, that the superhero was the guy that was outside of, you know, he suffered temptation, but he really was kind of almost above it all. And now they kind of have to drag them all, regardless of which one it is. They can't be the superhero. They've got to go through the dark phase or whatever.
Well, and that's just it. That's what makes them super. It's a hero versus a superhero. I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. Superhero, that's exactly what made them super, was they were above the temptations of Superman plowing through the bank wall and grabbing the money when he was broke.
Yeah, incorruptible.
Yeah.
Right. They had a high sense of morals.
They had high morals, high value, high sense of honor, justice, duty, where the new ones that are coming out, they're just heroes. They're not anti-heroes. I mean, we have anti-heroes too, like Deadpool and
the Punisher
and those guys. Batman really was a borderline anti-hero.
Right.
Yeah. But that's what made him superheroes.
But in that case, I think, maybe I'm getting too far in the weeds, but in that case, the backstory explained that.
Right.
And Batman has always kind of ridden that line.
Yes.
And so he's always been kind of...
Well, there's been times when he was over the line, justice-wise. I mean, he was clearly in the... Depending on which lore, which path you use, he was clearly in the against the law area, you know. And then
vigilante.
There was times... Yeah, vigilante. Yes, that was the word I was looking for. Thank you. But then there was the times that he was clearly working for the law and working towards, you know, the following law and order and being the posse, the add-on support or whatever. But anyway, so we got Batman, we've got Captain America. Now, I will say this about Captain America. I have loved Captain America since I was a little, little kid. Way, way, way. If you know how old I am, shame on you. we'll just say I've loved Captain America since I was a little kid, way before he was ever popular by these new movies. I have been a, I mean, he's in my probably top four superheroes. I kind of have my own superhero dream team, if you will. yeah. And he might even be number two. I'd have to think about that. I've got two that kind of ride the line together. They're all three of the others are clearly below my favorite, So in my dream team, my favorite superhero is, of course, and again, since I was a little kid, has always been Superman. You know, able to leap a tall building, strong, faster than a locomotive, you know, strong, bulletproof, heat vision, cold breath. And so, you know, it just all those things. And, you know, I get that he's an alien and supposed to be from another planet and all these things. That's, you know, okay. That just adds to the lore, whatever. But he is by far, hands down, head and shoulders above any other. Since I mentioned them, I'll mention my dream team, the other three guys. Captain America, like I said, is one. Loved him since I was a little kid. Another one, they screwed his movie up horribly to the point that it's in the dollar bin. And I'm hoping that DC will get their stuff together and remake this with a better script. I even think the actor that they chose was okay. I'm not saying it was great, but I wouldn't even be disappointed if they redid it with him, but with a significant better script, and better artwork. And that's actually the Green Lantern. I have loved the Green Lantern since I was a little kid. Most people don't know, or didn't know before the movie came out, the where the green comes from, where the yellow, his arch nemesis is the Yellow Lantern. And then there's
yellow, blue, red. There's black.
Yeah. So white. I'm surprised you know all those. Absolutely. So there, but they, I have loved the Green Lantern since I was a little kid. And then the other one, and again, since well before they made the movie, this one, I thought they did a pretty decent job, even with the standalone movie. And that is, again, it's Aquaman. I have liked Aquaman. And if you'll notice, other than Superman, all of my dream team, they have a unified singular power. I mean, there's some little things that they do extra, but each of my guys have a single thing that they do, and they do well. Aquaman, swimming. It's water. He's not real useful up on land. I mean, he can fight, you know, and whatnot, but his power is under the water, talking to fish and swimming fast and all those things. And then Green Lantern, he's got the lantern and the ring and the power that comes from that. And it's a singular focus. And then Captain America's got his shield, and that's, you know, I mean, he's strong, but his power is in his shield. And so just all of that.
I forget the crossover, but there was a small little crossover series between DC and Marvel. And at one point, Superman had Captain America's shield and Thor's hammer.
I do remember that. Yep. I do remember that. So anyway, all of that here, we've taken half the show to talk about our favorite superhero characters. So apparently this is a topic that we find interesting. Hey, listen, before we get into the meat of this, if you have a favorite superhero, mark it down in the comments, drop us an email, let us know who your favorite character is. We would love to know who and why. Give us some good backstory. I'm not talking about the super technical and the you know, long-winded explanation, but just a good, here's my superhero, my favorite superhero, and why he's my favorite, and share that down in the comments, and we'd love to hear that. But you know, why do you think, as guys, in particular Christian guys, why do you think we're drawn to that kind of stuff? Why? I mean, what are your thoughts? Why are we drawn to those kinds of characters and personalities?
First, I'd like to say that perhaps it's to maybe see or be seen as being incorruptible or having, you know, a high sense of morality or value, or even to be relied upon.
I think it's something that to where, and I think at one point, and I don't know if we did this in one of the podcasts or not, Mike, you have this deal that says, you know, what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? You know, with superheroes, it's like, it's almost like they have that ingrained in them. They know they can't fail, or even their failure is, you know, their worst failure is better than our best effort, kind of a right. thought process. And so, you know, it's that the appeal of, if, you know, if I had these superpowers, and I wouldn't be afraid to do X, Y, or Z.
I think that's a good point. I think that if we really dig in, and no, it does. And I've changed monitors now, but I used to have that stuck to my monitors. What would I do if I knew I couldn't fail? If I knew I was bulletproof, if I knew that I could fly, I knew that I could heat vision, burn out my way out of any trap. If I could freeze any bad guy, if I could outrun them, outleap them, outpunch them, then yeah, there's a whole lot I would do. I know where I'd start, you know? And, yes, I'm coming for you. You know who you are. No, I'm kidding. thankfully, I didn't have much in the way of bullies in school. But, you know, I really think that that's kind of the idea. And I think that why as kids, we gravitate to that. We're looking for a hero. We're looking for somebody to save us. Don't you think?
Right.
We're looking for somebody who's bigger than us. But here's the amazing thing in that. That is ingrained from our Creator. Right. That desire is ingrained in us from the beginning, from the day He started knitting us together in our mother's womb. He has knit us together with a desire for somebody to save us, for somebody to need a savior. We just don't understand who that is, and the world has replaced the greatest superhero of all, if you will, Jesus. They're looking in all the wrong, they want to deny who Christ is, and so they have created all of these characters, all of these personalities to fill a hole that only one can really fill.
I think that's one of the reasons, one of my favorite lines, if not the singular favorite line in the recent Marvel movies, I forget which one it was. I think it's when they brought Thor into the Avengers mashup. You know, he's sitting in a plane or something, and somebody says, "Oh yeah, that person is a god," and he turns around and says, "Well, there's only one god, and I don't think he dresses like that."
Yeah, it's when in one of the Avenger movies, and yeah, they're on the plane, and yeah, it's a mess.
And that kind of, and that, I think that's part of what I like about that character is, right, you know, the quintessential, the traditional, well, just plain old good guy.
Well, he comes from the World War II era, so he comes from the 20s, 30s. He, well, I guess the 30s, 40s, 30s. His mindset is that of a person from that time, from that period, faith, church, patriotism, Americana, was all preeminent. It was the popular and primary methodology, ideology of the day.
Yeah, that's just how you saw things. And you know, I think that goes back to your question. It's like that's kind of what we're attracted to, and you're right, we do have that in the person of Christ. Unfortunately, it's one of those things to where because we don't transfer that directly to Christ, because right. it's not wrapped up in a little bow. It's not a comic book that, you know, at the end of page whatever, however many pages right. there is in a comic book, it, you know, the story isn't wrapped up in a nice little bow. You know, it's messy and it's life and all of that, and so we don't see Jesus as the superhero that he is,
right?
Because he doesn't have the traditional superhero powers. But yet, if we truly understood who he is, that the others should be subservient to who he is.
Right. Absolutely. Well, and we have the stories, but they're not cartoonified. They're not animated. They're not drawn. We have all kinds of, but it ultimately comes down to the fact that at the end of the day, when we're done reading Jesus's story, we're responsible for something.
Yeah.
At the end of a comic book, we put it down. It's over, and it's done.
Yeah, there isn't like a command with, you know, comics. It's like, okay, now you must take this message out into the world.
Right.
Some will kill you for it.
You must spread the gospel of Captain America.
Well, and the other thing, and it kind of adds to what you were just saying, is in those superhero stories, it's somebody else's thing. Okay, I'm the normal person, and so I'm the one to be saved, and I run behind the door, the barrier, whatever, and the superhero comes in and swoops in and saves the day, and I saw it happen, but I'm still gonna hide in the corner because I'm just a regular guy.
Right. Well, we're the observer.
Yeah.
I'm just the observer. I'm just the bystander. I'm observing the story from afar. I'm not in the story. But you have passages in Scripture that say something to the effect of all have sinned. Yeah. You know, that our faith is active.
Go out and do.
Yeah. Go tell.
Where, you know, you're responsible.
Right.
You know, both for your sin and both for your salvation and spreading it.
Absolutely.
Now, can God work, you know, past you? Yeah, of course he can.
Absolutely.
And that is his superpower.
Right. But when you have that knowledge of, okay, this, you know, the one true God saved me from myself.
Right.
Why wouldn't you want to tell that to everybody?
Well, I mean, when you look at, I think you made a good point, David, and I agree with what you said, Caleb. We don't associate God's superpowers with the terminology that we are familiar with in our modern culture, superpowers. So, heat vision. What do we call that in Scripture? There's a big theological word for that. It's, I see everything. What's the omni word?
Omniscience.
He sees, knows everything. Okay. Super strength, you know?
Omnipotent.
Yeah. What's the other one?
Omnipresent.
Yeah. He's everywhere. He can literally faster than a speeding bullet kind of a thing. Yeah. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere.
Complete sovereignty.
Yeah.
Be another one.
I mean, we just don't call them that. And so people get hung up on these omni words or these big theological words when if if we could take the time to translate again, yet again, another version of the Bible into comic book, real comic book, I think people would find that the story of the Bible is significantly more action-packed, significantly more dramatic than people give it credit for.
I know when I was growing up, and I think they're still out there if you look for them, there's...
picture Bibles.
The picture Bible.
Yeah, it's still out there. Oh, yeah. And there's new ones. Now, matter of fact, we have the Action Bible. David C. Cook. This is not a plug. We're not supported by them. But David C. Cook puts out a thing called the Action Bible, and it's a comic book version.
And I wish I still had my copy of it, because I remember as a kid, I read that thing cover to cover at least twice, maybe three times. And by the time I got to Bible college, you know, we would have these classes, and we had a professor that would give us a list of people and or events, and we had to put them in chronological order.
Right.
Well, because that picture Bible was already in chronological order, I had those images in my mind. And so I would look at the list, put it in order, turn it in 5 minutes later, and then I'd just sit there and twiddle my thumbs because everybody else is flipping through their Bible trying to figure out what order stuff was in. You know, so I mean, that was a benefit, if you will, of presenting the gospel in a superhero type fashion.
Absolutely. All right. So we've only got a couple of minutes left for this show. I want to ask you one final, just wrap up illustrative question. So I asked you who your favorite superhero is. If you could have one, only one, what superpower would you have and why? Flying, heat vision, magic, or not magic, but a powered ring or lantern, a shield, all of the tech toys that don't make you a superhero.
Not that there's bias there or anything.
Being able to talk and swim fast and talk to fish and all of that stuff. A magic lasso, an invisible plane. I think we said super strength. A ring that you could click with another person, and one of you could turn into anything, and the other one could be invisible.
One could be a bucket of water.
Yeah. Elasticity. Like, you could stretch for forever. There's two superheroes that do that, Plastic Man and Mr. Incredible. You could turn into, or you were permanently rock. You could turn into flames. I'm going down through every superhero character I can think of. But anyway, when you get mad, you turn green.
Hey, we're just an extra Chernobyl away from that.
Yeah. So what would be the superpower that you would want?
I guess, you know, the super strength is always, you know, the set standard for a lot of superheroes.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you know, a building's falling down, I could save them. And, you know, with that strength, then you have that confidence to do it.
Okay. So you'd be super strong. All right. David?
I don't know. I don't know that this is a specific superpower or if there's one particular character that embodies it. But if there was one that was just super smart, because then you could figure out, okay, maybe I'm not strong, but I can figure out how to overcome said
problem. Yeah, there is that character. They're a bad guy. They're always the bad guy. So
Lex Luthor.
You've got Lex. You've got Brainiac.
Brainiac.
Batman had an arch nemesis that was a super smart guy. I guess you could consider Riddler maybe a little bit on the intelligent side. But anyway, I know there was another one in there, but almost all of them have a super wicked smart guy. The super smart guy is always a bad guy. So,
dun, dun, dun.
If I could pick only one superpower, as useless as I see this being to the rest of the world, it would help me immensely is to fly. So I could be here and then I could be there immediately. Super speed, you know, I could fly out to family, I could fly back and not miss, you know, a minute of work and just those kinds of things. So I would fly. Yes, it's self-serving, but anyway. So that being said, guys, listen, we want to say thanks for being part of the show today. As always, don't forget that you can comment below what maybe your favorite super power would be. Also, don't forget to share, mark that you've watched. And hey, if you want to be part of the show, you want to get your 2 cents in, we'd love to hear from you. We really appreciate you being part of what we do here at Christian Guys. Have a great day. Well, hey guys, you know, before we get out of here, I wanted to say one more quick thing. You know, we appreciate you listening on behalf of Caleb and David and myself. I want to say thanks for joining us every episode and wanted to mention just a couple quick things for you. Number one, did you know that if you like the episodes, did you know that you can actually sponsor our episodes? You can go to anchor.fm/Christian Guys. All one word, and you can click the support this cast, and you know, maybe it's $1, $5, $10, I don't know, maybe something, but you can go there and help us keep up the equipment and the time that it takes to get all of these put together. Hope they're a blessing to you. Also, do you know that you can be part of the show? We want to give you an opportunity to speak into the show, so if you have a question, it can be on anything. There is not a topic that we won't talk about. And so if you have a question that you'd like to ask, grab your smartphone, click on the voice memo, and record your question. Shoot us an email at podcast@christianguys.org. Shoot us that email with that attachment. We'll actually drop your audio right into the show, and then we'll answer your question, and you get to be part of the show. So we would love for you to do that. Hope you're looking forward to being part of it, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.